You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-host this morning, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Ministerial Resource Development, the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Now today,
I'm going to get a breath.
Today you have to say Graziano.
Graziano.
Graziano Marcheschi. I never get to say that, but today is a very special show.
And to all our listeners, you
parliamo tutti in italiano oggi.
You stepped in what? I don't have a clue what you just said. What would you say?
What did I say, Madeline?
We all have to speak Italian today.
How about let's go to please stand by and bring out the NBC Peacock.
Let's tell them why.
Well, we'll tell them why in just a second here on Relevant Radio. 9:50 time is 9:01 on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. Graz, are you aware that we've had about 85% to 90% possible sunshine so far in the month of October?
Is that why you've been in such a good
mood? Oh, yes. And along with, well, I'll be better with the Bears win Sunday.
Yes.
So, we'll be talking with today. Our topic is the ongoing process of obtaining sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton. And with us in studio, this is part of the Italian part, but not with Bishop Joseph Perry, who is Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Chicago and postulator for the cause of Father Augustus Tolton. Bishop Joe Perry, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to have you with you on the program here, Bishop.
Thank you.
Also with us in studio, we have Dr. Andrea Ambrosi, the Roman postulator. Good morning, Doctor.
Buongiorno.
You can talk.
Good morning.
Yeah.
There he is.
See, Doctor doesn't speak any English,
no.
And we have both Graziano as an interpreter, along with Madeline Coons, who will act as the doctor's interpreter. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning.
Yeah,
Madeline,
thank you for
will
being
do a
here.
Much better job.
Thank you.
I have an 8-year-old's knowledge of Italian. She has an adult knowledge of Italian, so that'll be much more helpful.
Out of curiosity, Madeline, is Italian from childhood, or did you pick it up in school?
I picked it up.
You picked it up.
She mm-hmm. never studied it, really.
Never.
She lives in Rome, and she picked it up.
That's amazing. Well, we want to get to the cause of Father Augustus Tolton. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408, here on Relevant Radio 950. Bishop Joe Perry, just maybe in a brief nutshell, the history and the life of Father Augustus Tolton and all that's going to be happening regarding the sainthood process. But basically his life for right now. When he was born?
He was born in 1854, on April 1st, in Brush Creek, Missouri, which is in the northeastern section of Missouri. That's today the Diocese of Jefferson City. And he was born a slave. Both of his parents were slaves. The farm that he grew up on is still there. In fact, it's only had two owners since then. And his mother escaped slavery, traveling on foot some 40 miles, taking him, a brother, and a sister, shortly after her husband left to fight with the Union troops. But he died down in St. Louis in a hospital. And she never found that out for some years later. But it was a harrowing trip, leaving slavery and getting over to the Underground Railroad, which is in Quincy, Illinois. They shot at her. And they tried to arrest her, but she landed in Quincy and took refuge with a family there where she tried to raise her children. And given the difficult racial situation at that time during Reconstruction, she had a hard time getting her kids educated in Catholic schools. They were in a German school for a while, and the parents got bent out of shape and were throwing rocks at the rectory and threatening the priest and so forth. So they worked in a tobacco factory in order to make ends meet, and they tried to get him into a seminary because he showed the seeds of a vocation, and they couldn't get him into a seminary. There were some priests and some nuns who tutored him on the side with the classics, history, philosophy, German, Italian, Latin. He was a very bright student. The Franciscan fathers, the ones who pastor St. Peter's in the Loop, which is the Sacred Heart province, petitioned their minister general in Rome to see if they could possibly get him into the propaganda in Rome, where they train missionaries. And after a couple years of not hearing anything, they finally got word that he was accepted. So he studied there 6 years and was ordained in 1886 at St. John Lateran in Rome. And then to his surprise, instead of being sent to Africa, they sent him back here to the United States, not really realizing the difficult situation they were sending him into. After emancipation of the slaves and Reconstruction, there really was no program in this country for a receiving of freed blacks. And so all of that was thrown at him by society as well as the church. A very difficult time working in Quincy as a pastor.
So he was ordained in 1886.
Yeah.
And sent back to Quincy as a pastor at the age of 32?
Exactly.
Newly ordained and pastor.
Newly ordained.
Wow.
It's an amazing story. A former slave who had to go to Rome to be ordained, and now a man comes from Rome to investigate the possibility of declaring this young priest a saint of the church. Dr. Ambrosi, I guess I'm a little struck that the postulator of the causes for saints is a layperson. Could you tell us about how you came to be in this role?
Come è diventato postulatore?
Sì, sono diventato postulatore da quando è subentrata la nuova legislazione nella Congregazione delle Cause dei Santi, quindi dal 1983.
Right, he became a postulator in 1983 when the new legislation for causes of saints came to be.
Sì, prima principalmente la mia attività si rivolgeva alle cause di annullamento di matrimonio, perché sono un avvocato della Rota Romana.
Right, he's a lawyer for the Rota Romana, and so he first started off with causes of annulments.
Could you ask him if it's common that a layperson would be in this role, or is he the first to layperson?
Ci sono altri laici, sì, oltre a me. Questa è la domanda, mi pare, sì.
Ma in questa posizione?
In questa posizione, sì, ce ne sono, cioè questa posizione, in questo ruolo, lei dice, sì, ce ne sono senz'altro di laici, anzi adesso la maggior parte sono laici.
There are other laymen. In fact, most people are laymen now, in this specific role.
In this role, well, that's good to know.
And then, along those lines, Bishop Perry, then, how did you get so directly involved with the cause? Did Cardinal Francis George come to you and say, Bishop Perry, I want to put you in charge of the cause for the sainthood for Father Tolton?
He issued a decree in January appointing the diocesan postulator. It coincided with his announcement.
So, adding that upon all the other things you are doing.
Yeah, the couple other things I do for a living.
I noticed recently at the back of our chapel, St. James Chapel here at Quigley, that there is one single photo, and it's a photo of Father Tolton. I was just really deeply touched by that. That this young man who wasn't wanted now stands there as a model of the presbyterate for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And that was the idea. At the end of the year for the priests, the cardinal wanted to raise up some priest in our history. He was a model of holiness and dedication. And unanimously, Tolton's name came up without much thought.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi and our guest, Bishop Joseph Perry, Dr. Andrea Ambrosi, and interpreter Madeline Coons. Our number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. That's the theme for the 2010 Chicago Catechetical Conference. Join us November 5th and 6th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont for prayerful liturgies, inspiring speakers, and a chance to network with other faith-filled people.
The Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry, in partnership with the Office for Catholic Schools, organizes this annual event. The conference provides opportunities for catechist certification and ongoing faith formation and enrichment. It offers seminars for teachers, catechists, adult leaders, youth ministers, and the people in the pews who want to enhance their faith.
We look forward to seeing you on Friday and Saturday, November 5th and 6th, at the Stevens Convention Center. Call us at 312-534-8039 or log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org to register. That's 312-534-8039.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Celebrate our faith at the Chicago Catechetical Conference. Let us rejoice as one.
Faith, family, future. Be part of the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics. Hello, I'm Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Office for Black Catholics.
And I'm Devin Jones, one of the hosts of the radio program God's Praises Tell. We hope you can join us during the last week in October for this historic celebration.
There will be an opening mass celebrated by Bishop Joseph Perry at St. Albie Church on Sunday afternoon, October 24th. During the week, there will be two revivals and even a youth and young adult evening, all featuring inspirational music and speakers.
And Cardinal Francis George will celebrate the closing mass on Sunday, October 31st at St. Jude the Apostle Church in South Holland. Go to www.blackcatholicchicago.org for the full schedule of events.
That's www.blackcatholicchicago.org. Come, help us celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Zachwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Time in Chicago is 912. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. And the Most Reverend Joseph Perry, Auxiliary Bishop of Chicago and postulator for the cause for sainthood of Father Augustus Tolton, announced this week that a website devoted to helping make Father Tolton better known and encouraging prayer to him was officially launched. The website, www.toltoncanonization.org, www.toltoncanonization.org, and Tolton, T-O-L-T-O-N, includes an extensive biography of Father Tolton, a timeline of his life and times, information about the official guild for the promotion of the cause for canonization of Father Tolton, and a historical commission appointed by Francis Cardinal George, Archbishop, which will assemble the facts about Father Tolton's heroic virtues. So again, www.toltoncanonization.org.
Madeline, I'd be interested in hearing from Dr. Ambrosi. As he approaches this new person, he's not very familiar with Father Tolton. What aspects of Father Tolton's life will he and the congregation be looking into? What are they interested in learning about him in order to determine whether he qualifies for beatification?
Diciamo che naturalmente il fatto di essere stato un primo sacerdote di colore di cui si promuove la causa di beatificazione, già questo in sé è un elemento di grande spicco.
In the first place, one of the most important things that they're obviously looking at is the fact that he was the first colored priest here from the States.
The first person of color, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sì. Questo naturalmente colpisce non soltanto qui, ma penso che colpisca un po' tutto il mondo cattolico questo fatto particolare.
Right, this doesn't strike just, the United States, but it also on a universal level. It's very striking.
And so in addition to his being the first African American priest in the archdiocese and in the country, what aspects of his life what will they be looking for to determine whether he was in fact a man of holiness? How do they determine that?
Quali saranno gli aspetti molto?
Beh, naturalmente abbiamo detto prima questo fatto che è una persona di colore, ma naturalmente dobbiamo vedere se lui ha vissuto una vita veramente virtuosa, se lui quindi è stato un candidato realmente giusto per ascendere all'onore degli altari. Quindi studiare le sue virtù e verificare se c'è un'effettiva fama di santità. Questa è la base.
Right, we have to see if he actually, in fact, lived a virtuous life. So we'll have to go down and study and see if he exercised the different virtues.
And Bishop Perry, what have you discovered so far in your findings from the history, the data, the information, letters? What have you found to this point in the work that you have done regarding his life?
We find him a man of extraordinary patience and charity and missionary zeal, a constancy in the face of opposition, and long-suffering.
The thing is now, part of the process of sainthood, if I'm not mistaken, deals with possible miracles or miracle moments. Have any of those been discovered, or are you researching, you know, through history, possible cures?
We're doing that, but more recently there's been a couple attestations to spiritual favors in response to prayer with him.
Now,
those are not exactly miracles, but they're, mm-hmm. people have believed they've received an answer to prayer in some dire circumstances after using the prayer that we composed, which mm-hmm. is very gratifying. But that gives us a signal or a sign that the influence is there, the reputation is there, and people have confidence in him and his story.
So when he arrived in Quincy, you just mentioned a minute ago, he was really faced with much opposition, racism. Was his life threatened at times?
He gives hints of that, but he was a shy person in the sense that he did not gloat on it, and he wanted to do his ministry. He wanted to be available to people. He wanted to be a priest, but other circumstances, people, clergy, prevented him from doing that in Quincy.
Bishop, what kind of historical records are available to document the various aspects of his life? Are there letters? Are there any other counts about, you know, what he did and what he experienced?
We've assembled a report so far of archival material that we have discovered on his background, and they come from a half a dozen sources. The Quincy University Archives, the Archives of the Blessed Sacrament Sisters, because he had a number of letters exchanged with Catherine Drexel, the Franciscan Generalate in Rome, sent us material. The Diocese of Springfield, which was formerly the Diocese of Alton when he was a priest there. Our own archives here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Archives of the Propaganda in Rome. So all of that has come together, and we collated that to give us a documentary, a factual rendition of his life. We have that report so far to give to the Historical Commission members.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Gracia Markeski, and our topic is the obtaining sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton. Our guest, Bishop Joseph Perry, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Dr. Andrea Androsi, and Madeline Coons. Our number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
It's election time in Illinois, and the airwaves are filled with proposals, promises, and personal attacks from the candidates who want to be the governor of our state. Hello, I'm Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. The U.S. bishops encourage Catholics to apply moral principles to civic life. That's why the Catholic Conference of Illinois has interviewed the candidates for Illinois governor on issues important to Catholics. What do the candidates think about the Ultrasound Opportunity Act, tuition vouchers, abolition of the death penalty, civil unions, and immigration? You can find out by going to our website, CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org. There, you'll find our candidate survey along with their views on a host of other topics. So go to CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org and be an informed voter.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with the anchor, Father Greg Sakowicz. And it's Friday morning in Chicago, 9:21. We thank you for spending this part of your morning with us. We're talking about a very exciting topic today. Holiness is something that touches all of our lives. A holy person doesn't live just for him or herself, but what they did sends out ripples that touch the rest of the church and the rest of the world. We're very fortunate in Chicago that there's someone whose holiness is come to the surface, and his name is Father Augustus Tolton, the first African-American priest. And we're speaking with Bishop Joseph Perry and with Dr. Andrea Ambrosi, who is the postulator for the cause of saints, canonization and beatification. He's come here from Rome to meet with Cardinal George, specifically about Father Tolton. And, Dottore, I'm interested in knowing, obviously, the cause of Father Tolton is important to us here in Chicago. Why is it important for the Holy Father? Why is it important for the whole church?
Sì, si nota in questi ultimi anni, in questi ultimi almeno 10 anni, diciamo una certa spinta da parte del Santo Padre, il precedente, anche l'attuale, di trovare queste figure, di indicare queste figure alla fede popolare proprio da tutte le parti del mondo. Quindi, mentre prima era piuttosto, diciamo, concentrato in Europa.
Madeline, translate please.
A pause.
A pause, yeah, come up for air, doctor.
Well, the Holy Father, even the most John Paul II and the most recent one, it's been about the last 10 years. There's been a certain push to find special figures who can relate with more groups of people, broader groups of people.
Now, along those lines, doctor.
E difatti io che e Maddalena insieme viaggiamo molto, veniamo molte volte negli Stati Uniti, anche in Asia, anche in Africa, perché vediamo che da tutti i continenti del mondo, dopo questa spinta che viene dal Santo Padre, vengono fuori queste figure, che sono figure veramente fantastiche e figure realmente utili non soltanto per il luogo dove sono nati, dove sono vissuti, dove hanno operato, ma veramente proprio per tutto il mondo.
Right, he said that in fact we travel together in many different areas all over different continents, Africa, Asia, because there's so many figures that can be taken from these different places that we can study, and that's exactly what the Holy Father's message is, to go out and to find these people, if you will.
And Bishop Perry, the significance of the canonization process for Father Tolton here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Well, we've had two other saints who walked the streets of Chicago in the 19th century, Mother Frances Cabrini and Mother Catherine Drexel, two women who ministered to specific groups or special groups, as you were. Frances Cabrini, of course, the Italian immigrants here, and the room where she lived and died is still preserved. Mother Catherine Drexel, whose sisters labored here at both St. Monica Church, where Tolton established ministry to the African-American community, as well as to St. Elizabeth's. And her sisters are still here in Chicago laboring. So Chicago is not a stranger to holiness, even though we have a reputation for crime and
toughness,
toughness and political brashness and so forth. There is holiness, and that's a great signal for the faithful of the church to know that that exists.
You know, what is so fascinating along those lines, Bishop Perry, and that is, for many people or some people in Europe, they still image Chicago, Al Capone, gangsters.
Yeah.
That still is the image, you know, for many people, for parts of the world, which, you know, that's going back 70, 80 years ago.
So now, instead of rat-tat-tat, when you meet someone and say you're from Chicago, they'll go, oh, holiness, goodness,
and Michael
sanctity,
Jordan.
And
Michael Jordan. And it, and the thing is, you know, what impresses me, Father Tolton ordained in 1886, 32 years old, dies in 1897 at the young age of 43. Mm-hmm. So really, Bishop Perry, he accomplished so much in a very short time.
Yes, yes.
That's what's amazing me.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that you're hoping to learn about Father Tolton during this visit here in Chicago?
C'è qualcosa in particolare che lei vorrebbe, diciamo, imparare di Padre Tolton in questa visita qua a Chicago?
Devo dire che questa è la prima visita, è una visita estremamente breve e quindi sì, vorrei sicuramente approfondire ancora di più, specialmente con il Vescovo Perry, che è così informato e conosce tutto, poter parlare un po' di più della sua vita.
This being the first visit, very brief visit, he would like to learn as much as possible from Bishop Perry to hopefully learn even more.
Quindi mi riprometto di tornare per fare questo.
He promises to come back.
All right. We'll have to have you back on the show.
Madeline, ask the doctor, does he travel extensively worldwide for other causes for sainthood?
Dove, negli Stati Uniti o?
No, chiede se lei viaggia in tutto il mondo per altre cose.
Sì, tutto il mondo. Tutto
yes,
il
all
mondo.
Over,
sì,
everywhere.
Sì.
What was the last
anche
cause
pericolosi
that he worked on? Or some of the others that he's currently working
Quali
on?
Quali sono le altre cause che lei porta avanti in questo momento?
Beh, ho appena terminato la causa del Cardinal Newman. Che è stato beatificato il 19 settembre a Birmingham.
Right. Cardinal Newman, who was just beatified on 19th of September in Birmingham.
Sì, e poi alcune cause di martiri della Germania che arriveranno alla beatificazione il prossimo anno.
Right, and he has a couple beatifications coming up this next year for martyrs in Germany.
Poi negli Stati Uniti la causa dell'arcivescovo Fulton Sheen.
Right, here in the States,
certo parlava molto meglio di me davanti al microfono.
Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who spoke much better than him in front of a microphone.
No, Doctor, you're doing very well. You're doing very well.
Grazie.
Yeah, Bishop Fulton Sheen will be our patron saint if he does get canonized, you know, since we're working in the media.
In the media. Bishop Perry, in all the work you're doing now for the canonization process of Father Tolton, what has been the most rewarding and most challenging aspect of this case?
The most rewarding was to discover the details of his life and to read his letters, with which I received a deeper glimpse into his personality. And then coupled with our visit to the places where he lived and worked, I received a strong impact as if he was living with us right now. In fact, I talk to him every day. It's as if he is still here. I sense that, and I hope he's watching.
So it's been part of your, almost like part of your prayer life.
Yes, indeed.
And the most challenging?
Yeah. As a young seminarian, as a young priest, I always knew of Tolton. You know, he was part of the historical pictograph of ancestors and other African-American giants and so forth. But he was just a figure until the cardinal asked me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became alive, kind of resurrected.
Well, on that note, we're going to have to bring this segment to a close. But the website for the whole canonization process to learn more about Father Augustus Tolton is www.toltoncanonization.org. I want to thank in a very special way Bishop Joseph Perry, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Chicago, an outstanding bishop of the Archdiocese. Also want to thank in a very special way Dr. Andrea Ambrosi, the Roman postulator. And Bishop Perry is also the postulator here in the Archdiocese of Chicago for the cause. Also, special thanks to Madeline Coons for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Coming soon to a church near you, the revised edition of the Roman Missal. We'll talk to Cardinal George about the changes. Hundreds of couples celebrate 50 years of marriage. We'll take you to the Golden Jubilee Mass, and we'll visit Chicago's lakefront, the site of simultaneous prayer services calling for an end to violence in our neighborhoods.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Gotta love that music. Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. And that music means only one thing on Relevant Radio 950, where the time is coming up on 9:34 on this gorgeous Friday morning in Chicago. We have with us for the first time ever in studio, Joyce DeRiga, the editor-in-chief of the Catholic New World for the Archdiocese, the wonderful paper for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Boy, Michael, you got that music cranked loud and long. Joyce, welcome to the radio program.
You? It's good to see your handsome faces. You know, usually it's over the phone.
Yeah. Good to see your beautiful face, too.
Thank you.
Michael May wants to point out that Joyce is the only person in the Archdiocese with her own theme music.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
You know, Michael, you're right. And Jim, you're right. Joyce has her own theme music.
I think
the only in the Archdiocese.
You should say that in the paper.
I never put it together. I guess I do.
I never thought of that. So, Joyce, what's happening in the newest, latest edition of the Catholic New World?
I'm excited about this one. We've got our bucket list, finally. We've asked readers and even staff and stuff to put together a list of, share with us the spiritual riches, the places they've been that have really touched their heart, maybe a devotion they've gone to share it with the other people in the Archdiocese. You know, there's so many things that go on and so many different kinds of things. So we put all those together. We actually have too much, so we're going to have to give us one example.
Give us a teaser.
A bunch of people actually put Quigley Chapel right here upstairs, the St. James Chapel in Quigley. A lot of people put Mundelein. We've got a couple, Marytown up in Mundelein too. We've got some people who picked small devotions. There's a Vietnamese devotion out. The name of the church escapes me right now. Simbangabe. Some people wrote in about that. The Immaculate Conception Novena at St. Mary of the Angels in Bucktown. We have there's a gospel jazz mass at one of our I didn't know that at one of our parishes. Mm. So we've got about 30, 40 there, and then we listed some that we think people should do is, you know, visit Holy Name Cathedral, go to mass or go to a talk with the cardinal, visit all of our basilicas. You know, we have three, and not everybody maybe knows that. And, you know, go see Our Lady of the New Millennium. So it was fun.
The one of the three basilicas would be on my list, Our Lady of Sorrows.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's inspiring. And Taizé Prayer would be on my list.
That's actually on there, the one in Oak Park. I didn't want to say that because I'm never sure how to pronounce it. I always want to say Taizé Prayer, Taizé Prayer.
Taizé.
Taizé, yeah.
What else is happening in this latest current edition of the Catholic New World?
We have our coverage of the announcement of Bishop Gustavo going to, Archbishop Designate Gustavo going to San Antonio. And we'll have more stuff in the next issue with his goodbye. There's two masses that he'll be doing, the farewells, and then when he gets installed in San Antonio, that'll be in the following issue.
You know, very interesting, Joyce, that last Tuesday we had a gathering of hundreds of priests mm-hmm. of the Archdiocese of Chicago down at Drury Lane regarding the whole Roman Missal and the change. And Bishop Gustavo received a standing ovation from the priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and such a kind, wonderful priest, bishop. And now he'll be Archbishop-elect.
Do you know anybody who doesn't love that man?
Yeah, I haven't met one.
And we have also he'll be part of our next segment. Producer wonderful. Jim Dish has a wonderful interview lined up in the next segment of this program. So, Joyce, want to say thank you very much
You're
for
welcome.
All that is happening in the Catholic New World. And to Joyce DiRiga, the editor for the Catholic New World, thank you for joining us live in studio and not from your office or on the cell phone on the Lakeshore Drive. So
she had something else she needed
but
to
Joyce,
do here,
give us give us a number for people to subscribe to the Catholic New World.
They can call me at 312-534-7577, or you can go online at catholicnewworld.com.
And on that note, we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Crank up that music, Michael May. I'm Father Greg Sack, with along Grazia Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time in Chicago is 9:39 on this gorgeous, beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. And Graz, they say that the last beautiful day that's starting tomorrow through next Thursday or Friday, clouds and rain, which we need the rain, by the way.
Rain is good.
We don't need too much rain. I hate to have flooded basements, but we do need rain.
October and, showers bring flooded basements, yeah, something like that.
I didn't know where you're going to go with that one. Earlier this week, producer Jim Dish caught up with newly elect Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Sayer on his appointment as Archbishop of San Antonio, Texas, and a wonderful interview. So sit back and listen. Jim Dish catching up with the new Bishop elect of San Antonio, Gustavo Sayer.
Well, of course, it's the Holy Father who has appointed me, and through the Apostolic Nuncio Pietro Zambi, and actually right here Cardinal Francis George, is how I found out. It was a very profound moment. I couldn't say much at that particular moment of the announcement. But then my reaction was right away, yes, here I am. And Colonel George indicated to me that he was very pleased with my response, and I had been very happy since then, and with a lot of peace. But I mean, the weight of the responsibility, I can feel it. And even now, as I'm speaking with you, I feel the responsibility. And but I believe that the Lord, and through the goodness of many people and prayers, I will be able to serve the community of San Antonio.
What are some of the challenges that run through your mind now? They're saying, I'm going to move to San Antonio. I'm going to be the Archbishop of a very large diocese. Yes. What are some of the challenges that you face?
Well, some of the challenges that I am already contemplating, and I know that I will have to face, is, first of all, to get to know the Archdiocese in the structure, but above all, in the people. So that's completely new to me, that area of the country, of Texas. And so it will be to know them. And the way to know them will be a lot of listening. So it will be listening and having dialogues with different people, different groups, and to start absorbing. And then I will see what are their needs, and I will go from there.
You know? You've been in Chicago for, what, six, 7 years?
7.5 years here in Chicago.
Reflect on your time in Chicago and what that has meant to you.
Well, you know, I just began 2 days ago to actually saying to people goodbye, or saying I will be leaving soon. Actually, I'm leaving November 5th. And so that has been already difficult because of the love. You know, when I came here to serve the people of God, God of the Archdiocese of Chicago, it was to love them. And it has been a loving experience from the very beginning. And the welcoming of the Archdiocese, the leadership of Cardinal Francis George, my brother bishops, has been so good that it was very easy to love. But after 7.5 years, well, it will be difficult for me to say bye, though I am convinced that is what God wants of me. And he said, it's a new mission, and it's for the Universal Church, and I am ready. But it's becoming difficult since I started saying goodbye 2 days ago. So many people in the Vicariate 5 that I have been serving mainly, but also the larger community through confirmations, and then the Hispanic community, you know, which has been very close to my heart because I was the liaison of the Hispanic community to the Cardinal. So I have been happy. I don't regret one day of my staying in Chicago, though I must admit that about the weather, I will be very happy. I will not miss the weather, especially the winters. You know, that has been.
Well, what are
experience.
Sort of the, can you focus on a highlight or two of the time that you've been in Chicago with your ministry?
In my ministry, well, the highlight has been being involved with the communities. So to be a kind of a grassroots presence and engaging with them. And just talking about the Vicariate, we have the masses in 12 languages every Sunday. And so the variety of cultures, Chicago is a mosaic. Now the something that was very dear to me, and I work easily, happily, and lovingly in the Church of Chicago, was with priests. I was very connected with priests. And I will say that will be the hardest thing for me, to say bye to my brother priests. The ministry with them was constant, and the ministry meaning friendship, service in many different ways, and to love them. you know, and the crisis that we have been for so many years in the U.S. Church and the Universal Church, it has been a privilege for me to work with priests, and that is something that will be very, very difficult for me to say bye.
And any final message for the people of the Chicago area?
Well, I would like to convey to everyone in the Archdiocese, those who I met, those who I never had the opportunity to meet, but maybe they are aware of this new appointment in San Antonio, I would like to say thanks. I would like to say this has been home for me. And though I had been only 2 days, last Thursday and Friday in San Antonio, I already know that that is my new home. But to be in the middle of two homes at the present time is awakening so many memories, so many feelings. And I would like just to say that, as I said at the beginning when I came to Chicago, I came to love you. I have loved you. And from San Antonio, I will keep loving you.
A special thank you to our reporter, man on the street, Jim Dish, for that great interview with the new Archbishop of San Antonio, Texas-elect, Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra. It will be a great loss. Also, a special thank you to Brian Hockey Hitman Brock for working with Jim on that wonderful production. So, Brian, thank you, along with Jim.
Grazie. Wasn't that a touching interview? I mean, that last comment, I came here to love you, and from San Antonio, I will continue to love you. That's the man. That's the loss that we're going to endure, and that's the gain for San Antonio.
With Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra, he is one of the most much-loved bishops that I have ever met, and there's no question San Antonio's gain is truly Chicago's loss.
Amen.
In fact, at the Holy Name Cathedral last Sunday, I was there for the Christi Fidelis Awards for the laity in the Archdiocese of Chicago. It was a beautiful celebration. And Cardinal Francis George mentioned about Bishop Gustavo going down to San Antonio. And he said one of the qualifications in looking for a new auxiliary bishop to replace Bishop Sierra is that he has to be a hugger. He has to be a hugger. And there's no question that Bishop Gustavo hugs everyone, means it, and I'm truly a follower of the Lord. So great interview. And now we go to another interview via the phone with Roman Schabelsky, director of the Catholic Cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Roman and I happen to be classmates from Niles College Seminary, class of 1975. Roman, how are you?
I am fine, Father Greg. How about yourself?
Doing very well, thank you. Remember about 39, 38 years ago at this time, we were playing football together.
And those were the good days.
Those were football, basketball.
On a beautiful summer day like today,
softball.
A fall day.
Who was tackling whom, Roman?
Father Greg always tackled me. That's the politically correct statement, right?
Remember, first year we were on the same team.
Yes.
As freshmen in the college seminary, you and I were teammates and classmates from the same dorm, and we were pretty tough linemen together, and then second year we were on opposite teams, and, you know, Roman, those days are long over.
Yes, they are. They truly are long over.
Long over. But tell us about Catholic Cemetery Sunday on November 7th. What is this all about?
Well, the cemeteries are getting ready to welcome the families on November 7th, Cemetery Sunday. Families come to visit their loved ones all the time. And sometimes they do that during the week when the offices are open, and sometimes they do it on the weekend when the offices are closed. So on that day, we will make sure that we have office staff and field staff available to help families visit their loved ones' graves if they don't quite remember where that grave is located. And then we also end the day with a prayer and rosary service. And we've done this for 2 years now on the Sunday closest to All Souls Day. And we've had a great response from the families, and they're there and they want to continue the tradition of gathering, remembering, and praying for their loved ones. So we're getting ready for that day, and we just thought we'd take this opportunity to invite everybody to Cemetery Sunday.
November is a special time for remembering our dearly departed, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, there's. It's not only our dearly departed, but if you think about the whole month of November, you know, it kind of ends with Thanksgiving, and you take the time to remember and thank God for all the good gifts that He's given us. And earlier in the year, in the month, we remembered the veterans on Veterans Day, and we thank God for what they've done for our country. And November 1st is All Saints Day, and then November 2nd is All Souls Day. So it's really a month of remembrances of important people in our life, just like Bishop Perry was speaking about Father Tolton and his contribution to the people of Chicago and the United States. We take time to remember all of these people, and those are the saints and the sinners that line our cemeteries.
And I think you really hit it on the head, Roman, and talk about taking time to remember, because we're so very much aware of November 1st, All Saints Day, and sometimes we forget about November 2nd, All Souls Day, to remember all our loved ones. And what I always find very interesting is, you know, right now the leaves have certainly started changing colors, and within a very short time, the leaves have already started falling. And so you just sense in the air a change, daylight growing shorter, getting colder. And so for many people, this is a very hard time of year, because we are moving toward winter, which means a sense of death and coldness. But even in nature, it springs to life, literally with spring. And so with the death of a loved one, you have, you know, death is for a moment, but life is eternal. And the most beautiful prayer is for the believer, when we die, life is changed, not ended. But even within nature, getting colder and darker, the leaves coming off, for many people, it's a very sad time. So, Roman, whose idea was it 2 years ago to create this Catholic Cemetery Sunday? I think it's a marvelous idea. Was this your creation?
It's not totally my creation. Many dioceses have done Cemetery Sunday throughout the United States based on weather conditions and things like that. Our cemeteries have usually focused on Memorial Day, and we do the outside field day masses. But 2 years ago, November 2nd fell on a Sunday, and we just thought it was a great opportunity to really reach out to those families. And like I said, we've had a great response since then with these families coming and joining us for prayer. And the other thing is, yes, it is we are approaching the cold time of the year, the snow and the darkness. But also we remember that our cemeteries are signs of hope, because that's where they wait, the communion of saints wait for the resurrection of the dead and the life to come. And so even though you visit the grave and it may bring sorrow and some heartache, it's also a great sign of what we really believe in as Catholic Christians.
You know, Roman, I'm sure there are lots of people who bury their loved one and maybe return rarely, if ever, to the gravesite. And then there are others who do that regularly. It becomes a real ritual in their lives. Can you talk a little bit about the value that people experience in making those visits to the gravesite and how that works in their life and what it does in terms of the grieving process?
I think those are important points to make. From my office, I can watch this one gentleman who comes out every day, rain or snow, cold, whatever. He is here every day. He comes and he visits his wife's grave. And he takes a train and a bus and then walks probably about a half a mile to get here.
Wow.
And that's his dedication, and that's his remembrance, and that's the way he remembers his wife and prays at that grave every day. And then, as you know, I spent some time at Baroque Cemetery, and at that situation, you know, again, the need for family members to come and to find their loved ones' graves to help mourn and heal the loss. And different cultures, different expressions of how they do that between what's traditionally at a Catholic cemetery. And the Cardinal told me that one time. You know, we believe that we are connected with those people who have died because we can pray for them to have God give them mercy and bring them to eternal life. And we can also ask them to intercede for us at God's hand help us along on our journey of faith. If you don't have that same faith, the visits to the cemetery probably aren't as important, because although you go and remember the loved ones for their life, you don't have that spiritual connection, and that spiritual connection is so important for us.
You know, people truly do grieve in different ways. Like, I know a couple of people who visit the cemetery daily for the loss of a loved one. There's a wonderful line that goes like this: grieving is a process, recovery is a decision. Grieving is a process. recovery is a decision. But when you lose a loved one, you must grieve. You can't shortcut it, and everybody grieves differently. And also part of the grief process is the profound sadness can hit you when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. You're driving in the car, you hear a song. You drive along the lakefront, you know, conjures up a memory. I always tell people, please be easy with yourself. Give yourself permission to grieve, and include, of course, in prayer, in working through that grief, because you know, when you lose a loved one, a part of you dies. And the more you love someone, the harder it is to say goodbye, and because it's so final. But again, the cross is not a cross of death. It's a cross of victory. So filled with life, we call it eternal and resurrection. And but I just find it fascinating, Roman, that you see that man going every day to the grave to visit his wife, the gentleman you were talking about.
Yes, yes.
And it and that's part of the whole process.
There's an awful lot of beauty in Catholic cemeteries as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I mean, the cemeteries are just full of spiritual reminders of our faith, whether they are the saints, whether they're images of Christ or the Blessed Virgin Mary, the resurrection. They are places of solace. They are spiritual places where we encourage the people to come, to grieve, to remember, to heal, to pray. And that's all part of it, is that, you know, it is unique. We just had some people visiting our cemeteries from throughout the state of Illinois yesterday, and they were just overwhelmed at the beauty and the calmness of St. Casimir Cemetery and the beautiful shrines and religious artwork throughout the cemetery that they thought really brought them back to that sacred ground that we talk about.
Yeah, I was just in a cemetery last Friday for a funeral, and the monuments over some of the graves were just profound. There were images of angels going up steps, and I hadn't seen those particular kinds of monuments before. And I thought, boy, I wish I could afford something like that for my grave.
Yeah. You know, and
there was a time when that kind of thing came a little more cheaply, I think.
Yeah, they are a little bit more expensive now. But again, that's the families, and the families want to remember their loved one, and they also want to remember the faith of the loved one. So, you know, those monuments, those personal memorializations do include those religious artworks of the angels and the saints.
You know, Roman, I have done hundreds of funerals and cemetery services, and it always touches my heart to be humbled, to be there with a family losing a loved one. Whenever I do a graveside and you're walking to the spot for the prayer, I'm always reading other markers, you know, this person's mm-hmm. name, that person's mm-hmm. name, and realizing how long a life or shorter life they have lived. Before we close, we've got less than a minute here, Roman. Give us a phone number for people can learn more about maybe obtaining a spot at a Catholic cemetery.
The phone number to obtain a spot or to have any questions about Catholic cemeteries is 708-449-6100.
The number once again.
708-449-6100.
And the web?
And the website is catholiccemeterieschicago.org.
I want to thank very much Roman Schabelsky, the director of Catholic Cemeteries for the Archdiocese of Chicago, for joining us here on radio, and a former college classmate of mine from the college seminary. Special thanks to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, to our producer Jim Dish, to our engineer Michael May, to the other engineer waving in the background, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. To our listeners, God bless all of you. Have a wonderful weekend. Go Bears!
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.